This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
We are live from a beautiful, sun-soaked Yankee Stadium, the site of Game 3 of the World Series. We'll be here all day, leading right up until the Yankee pregame show. More on Game 3, more on tonight's Aaron Boone lineup, more on the Dodgers trying something a little dirty to get under the Yankee skin. We'll get to all that a little bit later on. But yesterday, we as Jet fans experienced, I think, the most pathetic loss maybe of our lifetime. And a guy to react to it joins us every Monday after a Jet game. Lately, it's been all losses. It is the Joe Beningo Football Monday call-in, and it's brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here. By Approved Oil, lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com, and by HO Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, that was as disgraceful a performance as I've seen as a fan. What say you?
Well, you know, being a fan of this team for 60 years, I'd have to sit down and really research how many pathetic losses, you know, there's been so damn many of them. I mean, I don't think we have time, but that was pretty bad yesterday. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, to lose this game the way they lost yesterday. I want to start with this because it can't be overstated. And I understand the team played like crap, and I understand the delay game penalties. You know, I understand the terrible defense. Sauce Gardner, I'm going to call him Ahmed from now on, because, you know, he's the most overrated corner in football, and I would not pay him $30 million a year by any stretch of the imagination. But with that said, he's actually got more drop picks than he has picks in his career, but that's okay? And he had Shake Your Booty beat him on the biggest play of the game yesterday, you know? I mean, whoever the hell he is. And also a game where the Patriots tried like hell to lose. They dropped like 8-9 passes in the game. In the first Jet touchdown drive, there were two pass interference calls that really set the touchdown up. So, I mean, it wasn't exactly like they played great yesterday. But let's get back to this, okay? This kicker is killing us, okay? How this guy was allowed to come back and kick for this game is beyond my imagination. He's caught. Look, you want to say he's cost us two games? Because I think he's really cost us three. But if he made kicks this year like he was making last year, we're at least looking at a 500 team right now. It's mind-boggling. What happened to this guy? He's killing him.
Here's the thing, Joe. Are you angry about this, or are you resigned about this? Because Evan was angry about it, obviously, when we started our show
two hours ago.
But now it's like, what can you do other than be resigned and accept that this little experiment is not working?
Well, I'll tell you right now, this is crazy. I'm disgusted. You know, I've been through the wars for too many years with this franchise. You know, I've been beaten up. You know, they'll always be my team. But, you know, I know that, thank God, as I say this all the time, Teak, I swore to one Super Bowl because I know I'm never seeing another one.
Right.
All right? You know, Evan might see one. You guys will be maybe alive to see another one. I'm resigned that I never am. Right now, to me, this calls for complete desperation. And this may be insane and maybe unprecedented. But obviously, Jeff Ulbrich cannot be the head coach of this team. I mean, you're going to tell me he's going to coach the team for nine more games?
He got put in a terrible
situation.
No, I'm not
knocking him. No. You're right, Teak. I mean, look, the guy woke up Monday. They came back from London, and basically what he said, you're the coach. I mean, I get that.
I know.
All right? And he's coaching the team, and he's the defensive coordinator, and it's basically an impossibility for
him. It's hurting both. It's hurting both roles.
So what do you want to do? You want to fire him and try a third guy?
No, what I would do, this is insane. I'm telling you, it's insane, but I would do this. Desperate times call for desperate measures, okay?
Made Hackett the head coach?
No. I would get Rex right now, Rex Ryan right now.
Yeah, but Joe, you know how
hard, wait a minute.
You know how hard that is?
Why not? But Teak, where are we going? We're going to be 4-13?
Well, here's
what the hell's the difference?
So
he wants the job. Yeah. Bring him in. Let Ulbrich be back to the D coordinator, and let's see what happens. It can't be any worse. That's my point.
You're right, but I think it's just so hard to, in the middle of a season,
I get it.
Bring in a coach who is not in the building, and most of the team doesn't know.
Okay.
And would it be unprecedented? Of course.
Yes,
but I mean, hell, the Jets do unprecedented things all the time.
That's exactly right.
Maybe it actually would work. But I just think, let's look what's left of the season. You have to get to 9, probably 10 wins. So you have 9 games left. You got to win 7 or 6 more.
You got to go eight
more games.
Right.
Which is just, it's just hard. It's a grind that they have to be on. So the question is, how do you do that? How do you most effectively do that? That's the challenge with this team right now, is that there's not an easy answer on how to do that simple. Not simple, because it's complicated. It's hard to win in the NFL. But how do you do that?
Well, I think that that's a start, because I don't think you can do it the way it is now. Mm. I just don't think you can. I mean, they don't really have a head coach here at this point in time. And like, and again, I'm not going to kill Ulbrich for it. And look, I wasn't against them firing Salah. I mean, it's turned out to be a major mistake. I mean, let's be real. I mean, you know, he should have either fired Salah after the year last year, or, you know, waited it out and just, you know, if it really went to you know where, get rid of him at the end of the year. That's
right.
what they should have done.
Do the Fossil thing.
Right.
Remember in 03, Fossil's last year?
You know,
he's not coming back, but you need somebody to coach the team.
Right. So, Woody's made a lot of big mistakes here. And that's been, we've had, in all due respect, I know Leon Hess was a tremendous man. He was great dealing with the oil barons in the Middle East. He did a great job with that, okay? They could probably use him doing that now, but I don't want to get into all of that. But, you know, as far as him being an owner, he wasn't very good. Same thing with Woody. I mean, Woody might have been a great ambassador to the UK or whatever he is, but he's a terrible owner.
And what I think is awful about this decision, and I'm not, it's not like I was the biggest Robert Saleh fan. It was more, this never works. Like, just watching the history of football, firing a coach in the middle of the year never works.
Right.
But I think what's made this worse is that I think GMs and coaches around the league are laughing at the Jets.
Of course.
Bill Belichick takes shots at Woody
every
freaking week. And it leads me to wonder that when this mess of a season is over, who's going to want to work for him?
Yeah, Rex.
I mean, but that tells you something. I love Rex.
How long has it been?
Let me say this, though, Teague. Dick Vermeer, how long was the time?
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's not how long it's been for Rex. And I loved Rex. You and I, we defended
him. I love him.
I loved him.
And he wants the job. You know what it is?
I know he does.
He wants the job.
But that doesn't mean it would work.
Okay, but can it get worse?
I think what Joe is saying is that this isn't working either.
For this season.
How much worse could it be,
Joe, for this season, they can make you the head coach. Like, I'm in favor of whatever, because this season's a lost cause. But
I'm no head coach.
Rehiring Rex is like marrying your ex-wife. It ended badly with Rex. I love him. I really do.
That works for some people, though.
Does it?
Yeah, I've seen that happen before.
Not often. I mean, I will say that. I mean, it's not often, Teague. I guess
no,
it
isn't at all.
I mean,
ever,
you know,
really.
You know, J-Lo got back with Affleck, and I think that's all. Isn't that over now, too?
Yes.
I think it is, right?
It lasted 6 months.
Yes. It never works. And Rex wants the job. Of course he wants the job. He's desperate to be a head coach.
Right.
And no one's giving him that opportunity.
Right. But you know
what? For whatever reason.
But here's the deal, bro.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot. We can't be any worse than we are.
Look.
I mean, like Tiki said it, we're the laughing stock of the NFL. We're a laughing stock. Everybody's laughing at us. Belichick's laughing at us. Everybody's laughing at us. So what the hell? We've been a circus anyway this year. Let's continue to, you know, send in the clowns. I mean, why not?
Would you – so the trade deadline –
sounds crazy, but
– no, and the one thing I can't argue with is that I think we're screwed. Like, I think we're dead.
Right.
So
right.
if the idea
right.
is,
right.
hey, we're dead anyway,
right.
let's try something crazy like Rex being the head coach or Francesa being the head coach
right.
or
well.
Morash being the head coach. Whatever. We're screwed anyway.
I'm taking Morash over Mike. I'll tell you that. Morash every day over Mike, Sean. Every day.
I could call a better offense for sure.
No question about it.
But in terms of this team, would you try to trade everyone at the deadline?
No.
How would you approach this?
No, I wouldn't do that.
No.
Why am I going to trade everybody at the deadline? I'm not doing
that. Stink.
We do, but I mean, what's the point of that? You know, we still got some players here. I mean, I'm going to start dumping everybody because we have – I mean, who knows what next year is going to be? Who knows, you know, if there's a whole new regime in here next year that things don't change dramatically? I mean, I think Rodgers is going to come back for another year. Which I hope – and the only reason
Joe, do you want that?
I'll tell you why I want it, Teague, because – They got to draft. They're probably going to have a high draft choice.
Yeah.
They got to draft a young quarterback.
Oh,
let's
I
be
see.
Honest.
Yeah.
And let me have that kid, you know, work for a year behind Rodgers.
Right.
That's,
no, that
that's
makes
the
sense.
Reason I
no,
would want
right.
him back.
No, you're right. You're right. Because you're not – if you're – if everything goes to crap and you get rid of the staff and the marginal players and et cetera, you're rebuilding.
Right.
And so you're going to need a quarterback. The question is Aaron Rodgers going to want to do that?
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
Well,
because the karma, because
you know
the
what, it doesn't matter. You know what?
Golfing.
You know what? It doesn't matter, Joe, because if he doesn't and he retires and says, I'm out, you have Tyrod Taylor. So,
yeah. And you're
I mean,
still,
serious.
Right, which is true. No, he's right. No, Tiki's right. And you still got to draft a young quarterback, which
exactly.
you have to do. I mean, they have to do it.
I don't know if you wonder this with Aaron Rodgers, and maybe I'm just starting to turn on him because I've seen enough mercenaries come to my teams over the last couple of years and it all ends badly. I'm starting to wonder if he gives a crap. I really am. Like, do you wonder that about Aaron Rodgers at
well,
all?
Well, I don't think he's. You see, here's the thing. Has he? I don't think he's been that bad. I mean, I think he played terrible. Look, was he the guy from 5 years ago? No. But,
no.
I mean, with the game on the line, he drove him down the field to take
right.
the lead
right.
with 2 minutes to go. I mean, and in defense just, you know, wadded the bed after that. You know, so I don't think he's – I don't think it's as he's as bad as it seems to be right now.
No,
I will say
he's
that.
He's not bad, Joe. That's not the issue. What the issue is he's not great.
No, so he's not he's the not, guy he was.
He's
no.
not at that level
no.
where he's a difference maker,
right.
you know,
right.
from first snap to last snap.
Right.
I mean, he does make plays. I'm not going to – you can't take that away from him. There's some
no.
things that
right.
are just beautiful. It's like, wow, that's a hell of a throw.
Right.
It happens 4 or 5 times a game, not 25 times
well,
a game.
Well, it would help, and they ran a little better yesterday, but it would help if they had a better running game because they don't have a good running game. I mean, how?
Yeah.
I mean, can we
not
get a yard?
Enough. Yeah,
can
not
we get a yard?
Enough.
Fourth and one, instead of having, you know, to kick a field goal there, can we maybe get the first down and try to score a touchdown there? Even on the first drive of the game, why didn't they go for it on the 43-yard line there instead of trying to draw them offside? Then they take another delay game and they punt.
Yeah,
I would have went for it right there.
And he looked disgusted. Aaron was disgusted
right,
with that.
Right,
look,
right.
I think that's a part of the problem. Like, I think that you've got a quarterback that's okay. You've got a running game that is completely underachieved.
Yep,
you
yep.
have an offensive line that's shaky at best and not yep. being nice.
The kid should be playing, by the way. The kid, the first round pick should
Olu
be playing.
Olu Fashanu?
Yes. Yeah. Why
because
not?
Because at this point, like, Tyron Smith is a waste.
Yep.
Like,
he's
what's,
a statue.
What's the point?
Yep.
He's also got 1 year left on the deal. He's not going to
yep.
be on the team next year. So you
yep.
may as well find out what you have in Olu Fashanu.
No doubt. And how about Vera Tucker getting hurt again like he does every year,
yeah.
by the way? I mean, I don't know how serious this one is, but he didn't play yesterday. So.
I mean, it doesn't even matter. It's just terrible because he had so much potential.
He does.
Yeah.
And how about the fact that this quarterback and this offense uses timeouts the way they did in the first quarter of yesterday's game?
Yeah.
Like, they are
what,
so
it was delay of games.
And,
all
and a delay of game on the 2-point
conversion,
Joe.
Oh, that was a killer.
What the hell was that?
I know. And then they still went for the 2, which I was kind of surprised about, to be honest.
Yeah, you know why? Because the kicker stinks.
Oh, my God.
Why is the kicker still on the team when they got rid of the head coach? They changed the offensive coordinator. They made all these considerable changes, and yet the kicker, who's clearly just a bad reliever, he's Adamatovino from a good year to a bad
right.
year.
That's
all
I've
these kickers are. Why is he still here?
Yeah. I mean, and now they got a short week. I mean, you're going to dump this guy? They're going to let him kick again? There's got to be
they have a kid on the practice squad, correct?
Oh, do they?
I think they guess. I guess they could elevate whoever they have on their practice.
I mean,
squad.
It can't be any worse at this point. I mean, this guy's shot. I mean, to me, Zerline. I mean, the 2 kicks he missed yesterday. The extra point wasn't even close.
Yeah.
The field goal wasn't even close. Not even close.
And like you said, it's the difference in the game. And they've had a
of
few
course.
Games like that where it'd be the difference.
Bro, if he made the kicks this year, if he made the kick against Denver, okay, and everybody said 50 yards in the rain, I don't want to hear it. He would have made that in sleep last year. If he would have made the win against Denver, if he makes 2 against Buffalo, if he makes what he had to make yesterday, they're 5-3. I mean, as bad as they are, you're looking at at least a 4-14, at least.
Do you have any hope? Thursday night, short
no.
week.
I have no hope. I have no hope. I mean, you're asking me, how could I have hope? They're playing a 6-2 team. I know they're banged up. I know the receivers are hurt for them and all of that.
Yeah, they are. Nico Collins is out on IR. Stephon Diggs is now out.
Right.
I mean, I just did their game. And so,
right.
and they didn't look great against a struggling Indy team. So,
yeah. Well, it's a division game. Division.
Yeah.
No, I think they're 1 point. No, I think they're getting a point now, Sean.
Oh, it switched. Okay, this morning.
Yeah, I think they're 1. I mean, how could it only be a point? Like, even when they were 7-point favorites against New England, I'm saying, how could this team be a 7-point favorite in this game?
Because they're waiting. maybe overweighting the Aaron Rodgers effect.
I guess. That's
what it comes down to. I think ultimately it's always about the quarterback. If you have a quarterback that's competent, you're going to get some points, even if you don't deserve them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the worst part is we got 9 more games to go.
That's the thing.
We got more than half the year to go, Tate.
Well, the thing is, Joe, if you lose one more, maybe two more, there really is no reason to watch. Because the expectation is shot.
Well, you know,
I'm talking about for your expectation.
Right.
Like,
No.
You're not making the playoffs.
No.
All the vets that were brought here to win now, like, what's the point? So it gets really ugly if you lose one, maybe two more games.
And let's be honest with this, too, Teague. The defense is not the same. I mean, the John Franklin Myers move is backfired on him. The Bryce Huff move is backfired.
Right, because of the depth. More than anything, it was depth.
Right, and C.J. Mosley's done. I think he's finished. He got hurt again last week. You know, he's up there. He's been around a long time. I think he's shot. The defense is nowhere near what it was. Jermaine Johnson's out for the year. Quinnen Williams actually played well. I thought he played his best game yesterday. About time.
Yeah, he did. He finally got some penetration. Right.
Because,
it was making some difference.
Ultimately, there's so many things that causes bad teams to lose, and right now they're a bad team. But how about the fact that Aaron Rodgers gets off the field, they're up by 5, all you need is the defense to not let Jacoby Brissett and that crappy offense to go 70 yards and march down the field.
Yeah.
And the defense couldn't do it.
Well, I mean, the defense isn't that good, bro. It's just not.
Yeah.
Now, you want to tell me maybe it'd be better if Staller was still the head coach and Ulbrich was just concentrating on defense?
I don't think so. Because, you know, look, Joe, Ulbrich is still calling the defenses. And on that first third down that Evan was talking about where he runs for 14 yards or so, they bring pressure from the backside. But there's nobody else because they're playing man coverage on the front side. Once they create a hole, there's nobody to stop them.
Yeah.
And so you just assume that Jacoby Brissett's not going to run. But if you give him, I don't know, 30 yards with nobody in the space, he's going to run.
Mm. Yeah.
And then on the other third down, Sauce Gardner was turning around like a top.
Oh, my God. And like I said, they dropped so many passes to Patrick. He even dropped a pick.
He
dropped a pick as well, you know?
Did it? Because for me, it was just pathetic losing to a bad team. That's how it felt. Like, there's a team on your schedule.
But we're
you need
a bad team.
I know we are. I guess I was naive to not assume that.
But did it add extra
pain losing to the Patriots, or does it not even matter?
It's just at this point in time, I mean, it's not the same. It's not the same New England team. You know, I know Kraft is still up there, but, you know, it's just not the same anymore. So I'm not going to – you know, they stink. They're with the dregs of the league right now. They're right down there with the Titans and the Panthers and, you know, teams like that. I mean, the Saints who stink. I mean, this is where they are. I hate to say it, Sean, but the Giants, I mean, this is where we are.
Don't hate to say it. We stink, Joe.
Right. I mean, so this is where we are right now. We're one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, there's no sugarcoating. The only good thing in the sports world anyway yesterday that happened was – Miami blowing that game to the Cardinals.
Oh, that was great. I enjoyed that too, by the way.
That was pretty good watching that happen.
That was
the
one thing. And I enjoyed the Commander victory over the Bears. I thought that was pretty badass.
Right.
It turned out to be a good game. I thought it was going to be ugly to begin with.
Yeah. What game did you do, the Colt game?
I had the Colts and the Texans, which was a good game, but it was ugly for moments. But it was entertaining. It was a good game to call because some good things happened in it.
Right.
But you're right. Seeing Miami blow that game to Arizona was like a nice little, all right, we'll give you something on this football Sunday.
And so now 9 weeks into the season, the Buffalo Bills have a 4-game lead.
Oh, it's over.
It's over.
And they're killing everybody. It killed Seattle yesterday. But the best team in the league to me now is the Detroit Lions. They're the best team in the league.
Their offense might score 70 points in one of these games.
They might. And I know, look, the Chiefs are undefeated. But the Chiefs are doing it.
They're a little bit flawed.
They're doing it with defense.
Right.
The quarterback is still great. There's no doubt about it. But right now to Detroit. And how about the Ravens losing to Cleveland yesterday? And I know it's a division game. But that was a shocker,
too. No, you know what it was? It was Jameis, man.
Jameis Winston's
been waiting forever for his next chance.
Yep.
I know he quoted the Eminem lyrics, you only get one shot. It's like, Jameis, you know this is like your fourth shot.
Right.
That's a good point.
NFL quarterbacks, one thing that we've learned over the years is sometimes these guys take a long time to develop. I mean, you never know.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys who, you know, went to, I mean, you look at Geno, you look at Darnold, you look at Baker Mayfield, just guys that are playing now.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it, you know, it takes a while for these guys, you know, and to get into the right situation and to mature enough to turn out to be decent quarterbacks.
And by the way, I think that's the biggest part. Those last things you said, getting the right situation and mature. Because the game I called with Anthony Richardson, he's just not mature yet as a quarterback.
Right. They're probably better off with Flacco right now.
They would if they want to win, but I think they want to develop him.
Yeah, so, short term, they're better off with Flacco.
Steichen just said he won't commit.
They're not.
He said he won't commit?
About 10 minutes ago.
Oh, that's amazing. Then that means Joe Flacco is going to play because the statistics are ridiculous.
I think the reason he's not going to commit is because Anthony Richardson admitted he took himself out of the game and said he was tired.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
that? Oh, did he say that? I didn't hear that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Joe, we're calling this game, and like Anthony Richardson comes out of the game. We're like, wait, when did he get hurt?
He's tired.
Right. I didn't see what happened. And he just tapped himself out.
And he admitted it. He said it after the game. Yeah, I went to coach. I told him I was tired. I'm done. Like,
now,
what the heck is that?
That's going to be us to Hurley at the end of the week.
you beat up? Hurley's beating you. I got to ask you.
Five and a half hour shows, Joe.
I got no sympathy. Evan and I. Well, hold on. Wait. Evan and I, all the years of the Summer of Loves with doing Mike's show when we were on there eternally.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So we know it well, bro. Believe me.
Yes.
We're well versed in that.
Every summer, baby.
Right. Yep. Sean, I got to ask you, how do you feel, bro, tonight? Where are you with your baseball team?
I think the Yankees are going to win the next three games.
You do? Okay.
I do. Now, does that mean they win two or one of two in L.A.? I don't know, but I think this is going back 3-2. I like the matchups the next 3 days.
So shades of 0-1 with Arizona.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
Arizona won the first two. Yankees win the next three. Right. We all know what happened.
It's hard for me to believe that game one won't come back to kill the Yankees, though.
Is the Golden Boy playing for the Dodgers tonight or no?
He is in the lineup leading off, yes.
He is.
Shohei.
I mean, it's his left shoulder, so it shouldn't be a factor. You know this, Joe, from golf. Jack up your back shoulder. It doesn't really affect you.
No, you're right about that. Yeah. No, you're 100% right about that.
Joe,
I'm trying to play as much as I can, by the way. How about the weather?
Joy, say this weather's been great. Right.
Oh, my God.
I think Halloween is supposed to be 80
degrees. 80
degrees.
Are you going? Yeah, 80 degrees. Yeah. Oh. Are you going to the disaster Thursday night, Ev?
No, I got to go back with my kids and trick-or-treat. That's the one night my wife said, you ain't going out, is Halloween night. So I will not be there Thursday.
Well, there'll be a lot of Jet fans there wearing their empty seat costumes.
I'm sure they will.
Be a lot of that.
Joe. We appreciate it, man.
All right,
appreciate
guys.
You,
be
Joe.
Well. Take care.
The great Joe Beningo checking in on his thoughts after what was an absolutely putrid Jet effort. And he's right.
Empty seat
costumes. Halloween night.
Love that.
Everyone lost all their money or spent all their money coming to the World Series. They're emotionally drained. The Jets stink. They got to take their kids trick-or-treating. Trust me. I think MetLife Stadium Thursday night's going to be a ghost town.
You're right.
Get it? Ghost town.
That one wasn't as good as the one.
Oh, no. You know what? I'm going to give Evan a fist bump. Now that I got it, that was good.
Thank you very much. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Plus, I will accuse the Los Angeles Dodgers of dirty tricks.
Ooh.
Because they are trying some dirty crap around the New York Yankees that we will bring to light. It is Evan and Tiki. We are broadcasting live from Yankee Stadium, taking you right up until first pitch at 7:25 pregame.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Live from Yankee Stadium on this crisp autumn evening, a few hours away, a little less than 3.5 hours away from first pitch, the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Dodgers, Game 3 of the World Series. I saw something that bothered me. I saw something that I thought about never bringing up onto the radio, because who cares? But then I said, no, I need to expose the Dodgers' dirty tricks. So, I don't know if you guys realize this. This may be breaking news. But Juan Soto is a free agent after this season.
Juan Soto.
Did you know that, Tiki?
I did know that.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about now.
He is a free agent at the end of the season. We've known that for a while. He's a great player. He's going to get paid. We have spent a lot of time on this radio station talking about the Yankees re-signing him. A lot of Met fans saying, we're going to sign him. And what I've always tried to say throughout all of this is, deep breath. When the offseason comes, it's fair game.
Oofsah.
But for now, like, the guy's playing baseball.
Of course.
He's in the middle of the World Series. If Met fans, let's say on a podcast named Rico Bronya, want to talk about Juan Soto, I think that's fair game. Their season is over. But on WFAN right now, as the Yankees are pursuing a championship, it's irrelevant. So when I read a story from the great John Heyman that the Los Angeles Dodgers are in play for Juan Soto, I call bullcrap.
Yes, I see John Heyman down there on the field right
now. I see you, John. Let me yell at him. Hey, John, stop doing Boris's dirty work. I think he heard me, by the way. Look, the LA Dodgers may or may not pursue Juan Soto. I don't honestly know, but that report was done as like a declaration of war.
Yeah.
That was a little, oh, you think we're good now? Oh, oh, we're going to go after your best player. And I think no Dodger fan cares. You want to know why? They're in the World Series.
Right. But do you think that that was a Boris, I don't know, drop? Because it can't be a Boris drop.
No.
The reason it's not Boris.
It's not Boris.
Because if it was Boris, it's a distraction to Juan Soto.
It's not a Boris drop.
What is it then?
It's an Andrew Friedman Dodger drop. It's a power move. It's the LA Dodgers, the big, bad, evil empire of baseball, which you have said, Tiki.
Yes, the new evil empire.
Reminding every... That's an old-school Yankee thing to do. Like, you're in the middle of a series against a really good team, and you start floating out rumors that they may target your best player. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is.
And look, do I think Juan Soto signing with the Dodgers? Probably not. You can never rule anything out. It's free agency. But I thought that was put out there on purpose.
Yeah, of course it
for
was.
For a reason.
But there's
and
no
I don't
way.
Like
there's
it.
No way he would do it, first of all.
Who would do it?
Juan Soto, because it makes him Kevin Durant. And now, if the money is there, maybe he doesn't even know or care about Kevin Durant. But that's what's going to happen. If he'd go to the Dodgers, especially if they beat the Yankees this year, and Juan Soto's like, thank you, Yankees, I appreciate the year, and then he's like, I'm out, I'm going to L.A. to join the team that just beat me, and I'm going to go win multiple dynastic world championships. That, I mean, I guess we would hate him. Nobody else probably would, though. I think that's the thing.
Did you just talk yourself into it?
I did. I just talked myself into thinking that this isn't going to be a big deal outside of New York. New Yorkers would hate him, but nobody else in the country would hate him. Baseball America would love him because they'd say, yeah, we hate the Yankees too. So good luck.
Joe Davis would have a field day.
Oh, of course he would.
I mean, Fox would be in love. But it's not even the idea of would he go to L.A. or is L.A. trying to sign him. We're in the middle of the World Series, and I think that leak is dirty. I got to tell you. Like, it's dirty. If the Mets are playing the Yankees in the World Series,
yeah,
I wish that was the case. I wouldn't want the Mets leaking that out.
But isn't it obvious? Isn't
it what?
That the Dodgers are going to have interest? The Dodgers are one of the few teams that can comfortably spend whatever the hell they want on Juan Soto.
I agree with you. Why does it come out in the off day between 2 and 3 of the World Series?
I don't think it came out because I think they probably had interest anyways. Just like
okay, why'd the story
the Texas Rangers have interest anyways.
But why'd the story come out between 2 and 3?
Because they're playing right
because
now.
Because it's a power move by the Dodgers.
See, I thought it was Boris.
You think so?
Yeah. In between, keep the story on the off day on these two teams that everybody's watching. Oh, so, and I have the star.
Take it away from football Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why.
Well, it didn't.
I'll tell you why I disagree.
I read it and it was just kind of like, whatever. Kind of knew that already.
Yeah, here's why I disagree with you. Number one, Scott Boras doesn't need to do that. He's got the king of free agency. He doesn't need to put out a mystery team or a team that, like Tiki said, we all kind of figured is involved in every free agent. It's a power move by the Dodgers. They're in the middle of a World Series against the Yankees, and it's like throwing like a little bomb, a little grenade their way to say, you think we're tough? We're going to steal your best player. And I just think it's dirty, and I think it's disgusting.
So I hope that Dodger locker room today looks at it and goes, wait a minute, I may not be here because you're going to sign Soto, and then they start to crumble from within.
I hope so.
That's not going
to
happen.
I think for your sake, that's a nice story to create. I don't like it. I think it's dirty. I think we're in the middle of a World Series.
You know what?
I think they're going to be... Andrew Friedman and the Dodgers should have more respect for their opponent than putting out, these fake stories about going after their free agent.
Stop with your fake anger. You don't even care.
No, I do care.
You don't.
I don't like that in the middle of a World Series. I didn't like it with A-Rod in 2007.
It's about the sanctity of the World Series for Evan. But
times did I say, because if you're going to call me out, I'll just respond with facts. How many times throughout the playoff run did I say, let's not talk about Soto's free agency? I think it's wrong.
And
my own team's involved.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously I feel strongly about it. So I'm very consistent about it.
Juan Soto won't sign there even if they are the highest bidder because he has self-respect, and he refuses to get on second base and do that stupid shimmy shake with his hands in the air and go back to the dugout. He's a better man than that.
Let's go to Rob in Manalapan. How are you, Rob?
What's up, guys? My biggest gripe for this Yankee team is the reason why Dominguez hasn't even gotten that bat. Why didn't he pinch hit the other night? It doesn't make sense. Everybody fails to realize last year he carried this team on his back before he got injured. Now, all of a sudden, he's forgotten by Boone. Like, we got him on our roster. We're not going to use him. This is absolutely insane.
So there's two things to that, Rob. Number one is him being in the lineup tonight over Alex Verdugo, which we can make a great argument for. I have earlier in the show. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. But the other thing you brought up, which I am going to disagree with, is that he should have pinch hit for Austin Wells with Jose Trevino with the game on the line in game 2.
Yeah.
And here's why, respectfully, you're wrong. Jason Dominguez has not hit left-handed pitching. He hasn't done it at all. And so you're really putting him in a not ideal spot.
Right, at any level, he hasn't done it.
Hasn't done it?
Yes. And so it's not ideal for him. But at the end of the day, didn't Boone do that for Nestor? Put him in a non-ideal situation.
So yes
and
no.
So the only reason to do it would be because that's what the fan wants to see.
Yeah.
And it's not what he's going to be good at. And because he's not a veteran, he's a young player, that you have no idea what to expect. You can't even analytic that because you just don't – you haven't seen it enough.
Well, I think the difference between Nestor and Dominguez, those two arguments, is that I think in theory, like if it's a video game, Nestor Cortez to come in and face Shohei Ohtani, fine, it makes sense. But there's a human nature to it that you brought up well, which is he hasn't been in a role like that. He hasn't pitched in a month. What do you really think you're getting from him? If this is MLB The Show, fine, put him in the game. You know what I mean? But in a real world, real life situation, it didn't make sense. The thing with Dominguez is that he just hasn't hit lefties.
Yeah.
So even in a video game, it doesn't make sense because you're putting him in a situation in which you don't trust Jose Trevino. That's fine. I think the reality is Aaron Boone didn't have a lot of good options with bases loaded 2-out.
No.
He didn't.
No, he didn't.
His option was, let me just stick with Austin Wells. That's not ideal against a lefty. Let me go to Trevino. Okay, he's got decent numbers, but that's not ideal. Let me go to Dominguez. Like, you didn't have a great option, and so one of the responses would be, hey, that's Brian Cashman's fault. They should have had a better right-handed option off the bench.
True.
And I get that, and it's fair, but in the moment, you can only deal with what you have. And honestly, Teague, they did not have good options.
No, they didn't.
Bases loaded,
they didn't. And I get they just needed a base hit, and so Trevino makes the most sense, but you still just wonder, why is Jason Dominguez on this roster right now? Because he's not going to play, and you're not going to see him. And I guess maybe as an emergency, like, oh, crap, it's XYZ is hurt, Verdugo or whoever else, Grisham, Verdugo, et cetera, are out. We got to do something. All right, throw the kid in there. Give him a shot.
Well, that is a good question. If Verdugo got hurt in the second inning of this game, would it be Dominguez or would it be Grisham?
I think it would be Jason Dominguez. would be my guess. And I think
if
I don't
not,
know.
Then
I,
it really is why is he on the roster?
I don't know because I you know that Boone trusts vets. You know, I mean, any manager would in most of these situations, even though that's not necessarily true because the Houston Astros trusted Pena, even though he did play for a lot of the regular season. I don't know. Some managers just say, you know what, kid, I have nothing to lose with you. Go ahead. Have fun. You don't know what you don't know, so you might get lucky.
I think he would go with Dominguez because in September there was a debate that Boone had of who should play left field. I think what we've seen is that they're not going to willfully, without injury, pull Alex Verdugo from left field because they think he brings enough defense to left field, which he showed by how great defensively he played in the first two
games. And you don't know that you're necessarily getting that from Jason Dominguez.
Yeah.
You could because he's a great young athlete, but he doesn't have the experience. He doesn't know it just from it.
And I know it's sort of rhetorical when you say, why is he on the roster? But the answer to it is kind of horrible, but I'm going to give it anyway.
Go ahead.
Because they need to put somebody on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can only carry 13 pitchers, which means you need 13 position players, which means you need four guys on your bench. So if it ain't Dominguez because you're not playing him, who is it?
It's going to be DJ LeMahieu, and we'd all scream and yell about that.
Yeah. Right. So...
yeah, but at least he's a veteran, and you know.
Oh, God, T, keep him as far away from the Bronx as possible.
I gotta tell you, until you said DJ LeMahieu's name, I sort of forgot he existed.
Yeah,
I forgot he was even around.
I don't even want to talk to the existence. By the way, we're watching a helicopter and another plane go over. Can I ask something? What happened to blimps? When you were younger, a blimp used to mean you were at a big event. Where are they?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I think the blimp is like extinct. It's just not as impactful anymore.
Insert joke about me here, but seriously.
I was watching Yankee batting practice. Literally, one guy took batting practice. And that one guy was Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the official batting practice. Like, I think there may be a more fuller batting practice a little bit later on. But he was facing a hitting machine.
Like 2 hours before game, right?
Yeah. So I think it may actually be in the next, I think 5 o'clock is the official Yankee batting practice. So this was pre-batting practice.
Yeah.
And Giancarlo Stanton was the only one out there.
Yeah.
And he's facing a hitting machine. And he's barely swinging the bat. And he's hitting the ball 400 feet.
And it was weird. It was like he was hitting... he was taking batting practice as if he was getting to the ball late because he kept swinging late.
And going to right field.
He's intentionally trying to go right field. And most of the time he hit the top of the cage there. But he barely would swing. That ball is going 360 feet. Hell, he hit one to dead center that was just, like, effortless.
Effortless. He barely swung. He hit one in a Monument Park.
Yep. Yeah. Hit one in the Dodgers bullpen over there as well. The dude smashes the ball.
He is an Adonis, that man.
I already bet him to hit a home run after watching.
Yeah. Let's go to Joseph in Highland Park, New Jersey. What's up, Joseph?
I'm doing great. Thing I was concerned with the Jets. So I mean, my problem with that is just ever since they got Aaron Rodgers, go back to that. If you go back to that offseason 23, there were two big quarterbacks on the list. There was Rodgers, and also there was Lamar. And the Jets never even tried to make a play for Lamar. They never like did something like throw 5 over 245 with 180 guarantee. Yeah, the Ravens were going to match it anyways, but at least throw your hat in the ring.
I mean, you're right. I remember talking about the Lamar thing, and it just never felt realistic. Lamar wasn't, I don't think, a threat to leave Baltimore. He was just trying to press Baltimore to get him to pay him. But, I mean, you never know, but I doubt it would have happened. And I don't think it was in their plan. I don't know what their plan was, to be honest with you, but I don't think Lamar was actually their plan.
No, their plan was Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think it was clear as day that the Jets felt they were a quarterback away. And that of all the veterans that were out there, Derek Carr was the other one.
I already warned you. When you think you're a quarterback away, you've got a lot more to do.
No. I think you clearly turned out to be right about that. And I'll go a step further. And you can slap me back of the head and say, Evan, that is a moronic fan take. I haven't even said it yet. He's got his hand up.
My bad.
Maybe you'll agree with me. I think Lamar Jackson is brilliant. Okay? I think he is an absolutely brilliant player. If the New York Jets in this alternate universe blew him away, Ravens didn't match, they give up the first round picks, and Lamar Jackson's a New York Jet, I am now fully convinced the New York Jets would have absolutely ruined Lamar Jackson.
I mean, maybe.
No slap in the back of the head from T.
No, it's a good point. Because the thing that, you know, you have to really look at how he's utilized and how he grew with his new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken. We knew it with Greg Roman, who was obviously in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick. We know how he was used. Like, you're going to run the ball, you know, 20% of the time, and, you know, quick passing game and get the ball to the tight end. Mark Andrews became a star because of Greg Roman. But eventually he had to evolve because defenses know how to defend that in time. So he started throwing the ball downfield when he got a new offensive coordinator, and he grew. Like, he won another MVP, and he's one of the great young quarterbacks in the NFL. If he would have come to the Jets and they didn't have an offensive coordinator, or they went with a young, you know, first-time offensive coordinator, it would have ruined Lamar Jackson. No, there's no doubt about it.
And that's why I'm in a weird place as a Jet fan, and I see what Joe is saying, even if I vehemently disagree with him, that the Jets are so broken. They are so bleeped up and broken that Joe's idea, and he has said this a lot, by the way, this is not the first time Joe has brought this up, is to bring back Rex Ryan. Now, I like Rex Ryan.
I just can't imagine that happening.
No, it's never going to happen, but the franchise has broken its fans to such a point that the only good ideas one can come up with is let's bring back the last good head coach they had. Look, Rex Ryan, let's say Woody Johnson brought him back, okay? Let's say Joe got what he wanted. Mm-hmm. Woody's like, you know what? I was listening to Beningo on WFAN. He said this a few times. He's right. I'm going to bring back Rex Ryan. Bro, you and I both know it'd be a disaster.
Yeah.
First of all, Rex Ryan is openly campaigning for that job.
But it's also...
there's something kind of off about
it. A lot of the staff would, like, leave or be fired. You'd be turning over your staff
in the middle of a season,
which is... it's unprecedented. You just never see that.
And even
I'm trying to think, is that... well, what's his name? The guy who came out of the booth. Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
That was the last time
that
I
would be
remember.
The equivalent of it, because Rex is like a mascot for Jet fans. And I like Rex. I feel like I'm ripping the guy.
Right.
I enjoyed his time here. I thought he was very underappreciated. But that's how broken the fan base is, that our only good ideas is, let's just bring back a head coach that was good a few years ago.
Yeah.
I just don't think it would work. And Joe has a very good argument against me. He says, well, what else are you going to do? I mean, he's right. They're so messed up that if you just want to promote Francesa and make him the head coach, it's tough to argue with it. Because the argument is, well, they suck anyway. What's the difference?
You know, it's
okay,
insane.
I guess.
Think about a year and a half ago from now when we were Aaron Rodgers was coming. You know, Saleh was keeping his job. He bringing and Nate Hackett. Like, all these things that we were talking about.
Yeah.
What would have been the odds that you'd have been at this point that we are right now a year and a half later?
Higher than you think.
Higher than you think is right.
And it's interesting. But I don't think so, because I think they were high. You know
Like you think they were high in general that it was going to fail?
Yes.
Oh, I agree. I don't think a lot of people want to admit that.
Most people would have said, you know what? Be careful what you're risking for. You know, this dream that you think is going to take you to, I don't know, the promised land. It's fool's gold.
Well, I think the odds were high that there would be some level of success, kind of like what Brooklyn had a few years ago, but then something off the field.
But it would peter out.
It would peter out, right? Like, I don't think it just being an out-and-out disaster in terms of wins and losses was predicted by anybody. Like, even the biggest Jet hater like Sean, and I know you went the other way with the 16-1, but I think even you thought, yeah, they'll fail, but not to this kind of level of failure.
I thought they would fail last year, and this year I think I was almost talked into, you know what, the Dolphins and Bills took a step back, so the Jets will at least hang around. Did I think that we would enter the month of November and definitively say, undeniable numbers, that Zach Wilson has a better win percentage as the Jet quarterback than Aaron Rodgers?
No,
I would not think
we
were there.
No. I think that's the big surprise, no doubt. Let's go to Sam on the Upper West Side. What's up, Sam?
I'm really upset at Aaron Boone. I think Aaron Boone should be fired if Juan Soto leaves the Yankees.
Oh, if he leaves the Yankees, why?
Well, I think that they're not going to have the protection for Judge. I don't think that this team is built to win for next season. And I think that Boone's decision-making has been awful.
Sam.
Sam.
I have to say something very important. I interrupt this phone call to say something important. It's the World Series. You're in it. In 3 hours and 15 minutes, for the first time in 15 years, the Yankees are hosting a World Series game. And you're breaking down what they'll be next year if Soto's gone? Like, what has happened to us?
What does that tell you to Sam the Yankee fan?
That he thinks they're dead.
They're dead. It's over.
That he thinks it's over.
He's already resigned to this series not going in their favor.
Let me tell you why, Yankee fans, it ain't over.
Are you positive Evan right now for the Yankees?
It's not positive Evan.
Is this your quid pro quo for Tommy being positive Tommy for the Jets?
Even Evan.
No. If I thought the Yankees were dead, I would gladly turn the microphone on and tell you you're dead.
Huh.
But you're not dead. And I'll tell you exactly why when we come back. Plus, are you lunatics driving to Yankee Stadium right now pondering the thought that Sean Morash has of booing Aaron Judge?
No, they're doing what I was doing. I was driving over here. Where the hell am I parking? should I get in the garage? But damn, if I get in the garage, it's impossible to get out of that damn thing. Maybe I can find somewhere on the street. Let me go up to 158. 162. Yeah, okay, yeah. I can't park. It's event day. Where the hell am I parking? All right, I'm just going to spend the $100.
Well said. We'll get to your calls. Plus, why the Yankees aren't dead, 888-808-1019.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app